your way.
Every day.
Every day. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Right. Welcome to Stand By with JJ doing karaoke now, apparently.
Yeah, we're making.
I would do that song for karaoke. That one. That, I love. I know it for a lot of reasons. For some reasons that I don't know. I just know. I usually don't know that many songs. That one, right. I know pretty much.
You think you could crush the?
Yeah, I think I could do the karaoke. Yeah.
Just because you know the ooh baby I love your way.
No, I know the other stuff. I mean. I gotta hear the melody first. I can't just do it a cappella.
Da 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 da. anyway, how you been, buddy? Have you had an energized Monday after all of our earth? We had earthquakes.
Yeah, no, which I didn't feel it at all. I mean, my girlfriend felt it. She woke up, but I was just sleeping. I didn't feel anything.
Did she wake you up?
No, she didn't. She's apparently she just like looked at me or put her hand on me. But
I did. I was in such a deep sleep. I feel I feel Californian now. I'm not sure if there's like a group of people, a panel or something that has to, you know, that gives you a certificate when you're officially Californian. Hmm. But
it woke you up.
It kind of woke me up, but I sat up. And I was just too sleepy, and I casually went back to because I have the quake bot as well on my phone, like that tells you how bad the earthquake is.
Mm-hmm.
I've got this quake bot, and this is my first time since I've moved to Los Angeles that I haven't checked the quake bot. I literally went.
A quake bot?
It's a bot. It's on your phone. It's an app that tells you.
Oh,
what level of magnitude the earthquake was.
Oh,
and
okay.
And I'm always checking it, you know, and I didn't, I was tired. I sat there. The earthquake was maybe 6-7 seconds. I'm going to say maybe it was 10, but I just kind of sat there and kind of wiped the sleep out of my eyes. And then when it was done, I didn't even check the quake bot. I just rolled over and went back to bed. I'm so impressed with myself.
Welcome to LA.
Yeah. I feel so American now. Cause then I checked this morning.
So Californian, because.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes. True. So Californian. When I did wake up at 8 o'clock this morning, I did wake up. Then I checked, and cause I didn't even check the time or anything. I didn't look at my phone or anything. And that's when I realized we had multiple earthquakes. We had a whole, like a series. It even said on the news, series of earthquakes. So I looked at them all. I'm not sure which one it was that I was awake for the 10 seconds, but there was about 7 or 8. They were all 1.9s and 2.2s though. So they weren't, even though we felt them a bit, it wasn't anything too scary. Wow. I just feel so Californian.
I find it because I think the first one that I felt when I moved here was a while back when I was still working at the investment firm that I worked at and the building that it was, on Century City, the Nakatomi Towers of Bruce, you know, of Die
right,
Hard.
Yeah.
That's where
I
used to work. And
do people understand? I don't know if any of our listeners know this, but the Nakatomi Towers is what Francisco is talking about. It's the truth. He's not saying it's like the Nakatomi Towers. They were actually used as the Nakatomi Towers in Die Hard.
Yeah, but I was working, and there was an earthquake at that point, and it was funny because we're at the office and I was like talking to a guy in his office and then all of a sudden it's like starts moving and I was like in the building so you could tell the building going like this and I was like,
oh wow.
Ooh. And especially with that high, you're like,
yeah,
this one's not good. But luckily those buildings have like rollers so you move, you know, like they make them so you can like,
yeah,
you know, they have like all this stuff. But they have all this stuff, but at the end of the day, when if it's a big one, it's over. I mean, earthquakes shows you, I mean, any type of natural thing shows you how minuscule humans we are. Like, we're not powerful at all. You know what I mean? Like, you want to know, you're not powerful. Go in, just even try surfing and go in the ocean and then get wiped out. And then you realize, oh, yeah, I have no power at all when it comes to nature. Nature is always going to win.
Yeah, you're a leaf on the wind.
Completely. I mean, however, I do have I do have an earthquake kit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I bought it.
I do not have I don't know what would be in an earthquake
but
kit.
That's what I wanted to talk about. It's
a jack or something? A jack to jack your way out of out of the rubble?
No, it's just a bunch of magazines to jerk yourself off. No,
right.
I'm kidding.
All right. I was close. I had one letter wrong.
No, actually, the earthquake kit is funny because it is like, it's like water, like fake water, or not fake water, water, or like fake food, that, you know, stuff that okay. to survive.
Like, is it like astronaut ice cream?
Yeah, like that stuff. Okay. Which I'm going like I don't want to survive. I want to be rescued. You know what I mean? Like the earthquake kit to me should be just like a bunch of iPhones from different companies, like, and then AT&T, T-Mobile, and like, let's see which one works. So then I can like, and then you turn all of them and be like, oh, the AT&T, you know, that one works. Hello, rescue me. I'm here. I don't want to survive for 3 days.
Yeah, that would be a good selling point on a phone, wouldn't it? It's right. We're earthquake proof. You know, I haven't bought an earthquake. It hasn't even dawned on me, but I do think I'm earthquake ready. I have been looking at my apartment today after the series of earthquakes through the night. I've been looking around at my apartment as I've been spending the day going, okay, I could hide there. Oh, I think that'd be a good supporting place to, like, between my table and my couch.
Yeah.
All right. I'll be able to do this. So I don't have.
Yeah. Cause that's the only thing you can do is just where you're going to hide and then just bear it out, because there's nothing else to do, you know. So it is, but it's funny because we have all this stuff, but at the end of the day, when it happens, you never know how you're gonna react.
Yeah, when it's a really big one, because there was an earthquake when I first moved here, and my bed, so not the same apartment, but my bed, it was a rental apartment, so the room was kind of empty, you know. It was an air, I was like, it was a short-term rental. I rented a place for like 2 months when I first moved here. So it was pretty much just the bed and a drawer and then just a blank room. And the bed during this earthquake was just sliding all around the room. Wow. And I was just on it going, it was like the middle of the, it was like six in the evening. It was like dinner time or whatever. And I'm just sliding, never going, holy shit. So that was, I think that was my first LA earthquake, just sliding everywhere. And I haven't had one that intense since then, knock on wood.
Well, which is funny because like your first earthquake and now you have this earthquake, it's kind of like sex. It's like the first time you had sex, you were going like, whoa. and now you're like, oh, I'm just gonna go back to sleep.
Exactly. That's exactly the progress. That's a perfect way to close out our little chatting section, because that is precisely how I feel, man. In fact, I wouldn't even want to tell people that I went through like how casual we are with earthquakes, and immediately like my parents would be like, oh my god, are you okay? You're like, yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah
it's like casual sex. No. Man, hey, Francisco, man, thanks for bringing it's your content that brought us this week's guest, which has been amazing. So Gina Brion is a outstanding comedian, well-traveled comedian, you know, out of the Bronx, basically. And I watched her stand up knowing that she's coming on the show, and I really enjoyed this interview that we just did with her.
Fantastic. Yeah, it was so much fun to learn. I mean, I already know her. She's a good friend of mine, but also to learn new things that about her, you know, especially like she's definitely like a road comic that does every type of gig, you know. She's always like traveling and by herself, which you know, she shares some interesting stories on the road being by herself, you know, how she had to endure. And it's like, it's crazy sometimes, like we don't even realize what people go through when they're on traveling by themselves, you know.
Yeah, well, it's like you were, I do believe you say it during our interview, which is exactly, these are the kind of things, the reasons why we started this podcast, because we not only wanted to learn about other cultures and travel habits, but we also wanted to learn like your how your instincts work when you're on the road and you're traveling alone, and like, and how, what a good way to approach travel can be, because definitely comedians being out late at night and other artists and stuff, we find ourselves in vulnerable places or train stations or bus stations in the middle of the night. So
yeah, so it was great to listen to her and then to also share her stories of going to Europe, and then also her travel buddy, which is something that's very interesting that we found out that's her travel buddy is just a quick clue, is from a galaxy far, far away. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
but good fun, so man. Now on episode 19 we have the great and wonderful Gina Brion.
So enjoy.
Have fun. Bye, hello.
We got Gina Brion with us. Which
we got
is
Gina
be...
Brion. Our special guest today is Gina Brion. How are you, Gina?
I'm tired.
Oh, because you're in LA time. You're LA time, right?
Yeah.
Because you're a New York based, but you right now you're in LA right now with us.
Yeah, I'm New York tired in LA. You
know, oh wow.
Wow. Very New York tired.
Can I just say, Gina, I know that we have not met in real life, but I did that thing of like wanting to get to know my stand-up comedian. So I played your special on Amazon, Flora's Lava, and it's awesome. I loved it. I love it anytime you think you're going to casually put a special on to listen in the background, and then you come, you end up standing there in front of your television going, this is a performer. Aww. This is, she's a crusher. So it was really enjoyable. Yeah, fantastic. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, JJ texted me and she's like, wow, like I'm watching her special, so good. So I was like, yeah. Man. What do you think?
Yeah, I
was
going to,
of course. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, fantastic.
Because Gina has been doing stand up since she was 17, which is crazy.
Oh, right on.
Like, I mean, like that's like you knew that you wanted to do it.
Yeah, I knew at 14.
Wow.
I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I just didn't know how to start. I just kind of started. Like, I never took a comedy class. I just went to open mics and just slowly progressed from there.
That's right amazing. On. And yeah, because you did, I mean, 17, then you also had your first special was with Gabe Iglesias Fluffy in 2014.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Pacifically Speaking, that was the name of it.
Yes, Pacifically Speaking. That was my first little baby. That baby was about 15 years in the making. Like, that was my first labor of love. I remember when it debuted, like right after the credits rolled, I was like,
And then you also, you know, you've been on Chelsea Lately, Gotham's Comedy Live with you, and you're also the winner of NBC's 2012 Stand Up Diversity Showcase, and you've been on the JFL, which is that's where we kind of like, you know,
really
got to know each other because we met each other, but like, because me and Gina got to be in JFL for the Ethnic show. And that was cool because, you know, we were like the only ones there for like a month with nobody there. So then it was
amazing. Oh, really?
So it was great because we had like the whole hotel for ourselves. And it was just five of us. So we just would do everything together, you know? So
yeah.
Oh, right. Does the Ethnic show starts a week earlier or
a month earlier?
A month earlier, yeah. And then everybody starts flooding in for the festival and it gets nuts. But like, we have some chill time when they're setting up, and it's really nice to see the setup and to be there. Man, I miss with all this COVID crap that's going on. I miss JFL so much.
Yeah, I do miss that. I even miss Orny, which is crazy.
You miss Orny? Yeah. I miss Orny every day.
I miss any stand-up situation where we can all hang out with fellow comics backstage. I miss a green room. I miss any kind of, I mean, as Francisco knows, and I don't know how long you've been in LA now, but if you've done that Magic Castle gig, the green room is basically the driveway. It's like the upper part of the driveway, but still it feels like a zone where, you know, you end up with five or six comedians just downloading on each other and going, how are you? How are you? It's like dogs off their leash at the park, you know?
Oh, yeah.
How has it been in New York? I mean, I know the clubs are opening right now, but like before that, it was just like spots outside on parks and stuff or roofs.
Yeah, we would congregate at like outdoor shows, rooftop shows and stuff like that. But it was the same vibe. Like once you get a bunch of comics together and you sit us in like a back room or something or even just
like
some
dogs.
Corner of a park, we just can't get enough of hanging out, making inappropriate COVID jokes, making each other laugh through all this. But I think it's important. You know, I think most comics handle crazy stuff like this pandemic with humor. That's what we do.
And I think I'm glad that everything's now slowly opening up and coming back. So I'm very excited. And then, well,
Our instincts are to deflect and disarm. We see something tense, deflect and disarm, and humiliate ourselves in the process sometimes. But as long as it deflects and disarms, yeah.
Totally. As long as it deflects, yes.
Well, on this podcast, I just want to like let you know and let the audience know that what we do here, we talk about traveling and the arts, and we have some questions that we're gonna ask you and about traveling, and then you know we're just gonna talk about them. So
yeah,
just yeah, easy.
Nothing too crazy. Hard. Even though yeah. I could see the fatigue in your eyes, and like, oh, this is when we could really rope a dope her with a really tough political question, but none of that on our podcast.
Because also Gina's a new mom right now, so obviously, like, yeah. she's got triple duty, you know, yeah. doing. How old is your baby now, or how many months?
He is going to be 9 months this next week. He's going to be 9 months.
9 months. Which, by the way, he actually looks like me. Gina told me.
It's like, frightening how much my
she sent me a picture, okay. And I was like, which a lot of like also aww. Like Kira Satanovich, she also tells me that her kid looks like me. So I don't know why a lot of comments.
Holy cow.
But yeah, I don't know.
Francisco's the default baby face or something.
Yeah. I'm the filter.
Francisco just has default baby face.
Well, cool. So let's start. I'm going to ask you the first question, and then JJ will go after that. But the first question that we have for you is, what was your first big move for the sake of your comedy career?
My first big move, like career move?
Yeah, for your comedy career. Like, yeah, like when you had to move to like another city, or did you have to move to another city, or if not, like...
Yeah, I mean, you grew up in the Bronx, right? So maybe you were already New York-based,
yeah.
I guess.
I was already moved to a pretty good place, but I think the first time I came to California, culture shock to me. I really was not prepared for the first time, because I came years before I should have come here, because I did not know what I was doing. I remember the comic I stayed with, I got really upset because he said, yeah, I could stay with you. And at the time I was, you know, I was a sangana. I was dumb. I was like, everybody's my friend. He was like, well, I have room at my place. Well, what he meant was, I have a storage facility as an apartment, and you can sleep on the same bed as me. And I was then I went to San Diego. Like, I came out to LA. I was in LA for like, I think a couple of days, and I went to San Diego for a couple of days, met up with a friend of mine, and San Diego changed my feelings about California.
Because it was more normal.
Yeah, I was kind of sketched out. I was kind of like, oh my God, is this what every comic goes through when they first come here? Like, is it always this sketchy and this crazy? Like, you know, people say shit about New York, but it's like, no, I had that experience in LA. I was like, this is so sketch to me. And then I went to visit my friend in San Diego and got up on stage in San Diego and had a really good time. And then I was like, oh wait, maybe I shouldn't make assumptions based on my crappy situation.
Yeah, I guess it always depends on the company that you end up keeping, don't you? Like, you can easily have a, like I can, my first few days in California when I moved here, I met probably, you know, 5 or 6 different factions of people in that first couple of weeks. And I can tell you right now, some of them are like, okay, these cannot end up being the only people that I talk to when I want to base my life here. And then you meet other people, you're like, oh, this is a great group of friends, you know? So. It depends a lot on the company you keep that'll frame your attitude towards the city. I don't know San Diego that well at all. So to me, San Diego's the scary place.
Right? It's really beautiful, but it's suspiciously beautiful. Or like, I feel like, do you kick all of the ugly people out? Like, I don't understand how everyone is beautiful in San Diego. It makes no sense to me. I'm like, this is genetically impossible.
Yeah, San Diego's like a cool, like, it's what I say to people, like, hey, if I wasn't in the entertainment business, maybe I would, like, probably I would live in San Diego. You know, I think it's a good city to be if you have a normal job, you know, because it's more chill. Like, you can, it's just definitely more chill. Like, it's like the definition of like when people say California, like chill, like sub bro, I'm just gonna go surf a little bit. That's kind of like what San Diego is. But when you came here to LA, was just for a specific show or just to do
stuff? I literally just wanted to see what the comedy scene was like around here. And I remember being brought to the Laugh Factory before there was ever a Laugh Factory in New York. And I guess at the time, it must have been a time when at the height of Dane Cook's success.
Yeah.
Because he was at the Laugh Factory and it was a madhouse. It was just
It was crazy.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was when he was like popping.
It was nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Girls just swarmed around him like fruit flies. To like, wow. It's just like he stepped off stage and it was like just a swarm of women around him. It was insane to watch.
That's crazy. Yeah. Because that's when the MySpace days, when everything he blew up, you know. Yeah. I don't think I was doing comedy even back then. I never saw him. I think I started doing comedy after he was already established, you know, as Dane Cook, but not when I didn't see the climb, you know.
Yeah, I didn't see the climb either. I moved here in 2016, and he was still playing the Laugh Factory because I remember seeing him at the Laugh Factory. But it was a lot less crowded outside, I have to say. I think me and my friend were talking to him for a while, so we didn't have to compete. We didn't have to compete with the fruit fly ladies. You know?
Yeah, the fruit fly ladies they crack me up because they're such like comedy groupies, and like you guys know, like there's just a bunch of there's a certain type of woman that is just like addicted to that funny guy, and she sees a funny guy on stage and just like, well, the second you get off stage, it's like, oh my god, you're so funny.
But it is funny to me, like there's groupies and like for like comedy, like to me it's like, if you're gonna like be a groupie, be like a for a like a band, you know. Not why a comic is like they most I mean unless Yeah, unless you're like really big, most of them they don't have money, you know. So it's like, what are you?
Well, and eventually... neither do bands, brother.
I'm thinking the big ones. I mean, I don't know, but yeah, I guess
I'm thinking just like I don't think these people realize anybody who's like a comedy groupie. Like I'm like I don't think you realize that if you hook up with a comedian, you're now part of the act.
Yeah.
Like, do you realize that that's what happens? Like.
True.
Yeah, eventually
you have this fantasy, but what happens is me end up writing jokes about you.
I can promise. I promise anonymity to my exes. I'll promise you anonymity, and I will change your name. But I'm telling that story.
Yeah. Sometimes I would combine the girlfriends into one big transformer.
So that way,
Power
like,
Ranger.
I don't do that.
Is it like Voltron? I just get pieces of like. And they combine and it's like
yeah, it just sounds like girlfriend. You had one really, really horrible relationship.
Yeah.
When you've just Frankensteined all these terrible relationships.
Because weird, like it with us when you're doing stand-up and you're like, well, so my other girlfriend, and then my I was like, all right, just combine into
my other terrible relationship.
I know, it's like then people start going like, this guy just needs he's a, you know, you're the problem.
Yeah, you might have to look at yourself. We all feel that way as comedians. We all look at ourselves and then we lash out as soon as we can get to the stage. So
yeah, I am the problem.
But I'm gonna convince this room of strangers that I am not the problem. So
yeah.
That was a great answer, man. This brings us to our second question, Gina. We're going to take you back to your childhood, and we're wondering what kind of trips did you do as a family when you were a kid? Actually, like how big a family did you have, and what did you guys do for holidays? How did you travel, or what were your destinations?
A lot of our trips, or a lot of our road trips, we would drive to Florida. Our family was big on driving to Florida for some reason. I don't think my parents like to fly. I don't think they ever liked to fly. But we would drive to Florida for like a little family vacation. And they had like a timeshare thing through this, I think it was called Outdoor World. And we would go and we would stay at these little mobile home cabin like things. And okay. they were pretty awesome. You know what I mean? Like, it was just pretty, it was a nice way of camping. Like, I'm not a camping person. And yeah, that's not camping, really.
That's glamping.
Yeah, that's exactly. I was glamping.
Which I like that. I like the glamping thing, which yes. that new term. Yeah. I don't like when people go like, ooh, sit it in. I'm like, no, give me, I'll do the 2 hours yeah. outside. But then when I go to sleep, I need a bathroom. I need yes. a bed.
I need a TV.
I need a TV. I need AC.
I need a refrigerator. I'm very yeah, yeah. snappy.
Yeah.
I can't live off the land. I was not trained.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been camping, but glamping, for. But we used to do a lot of that stuff, like just drive across to, drive over to Florida, visit some of our family members, stay at a timeshare, and just have a little sort of family vacay.
Now, did you have a big family yourself? Is that like, is that a lot of people in the car, or was it
like kind of minimal? Not at the time that we did the family vacation. Five of us all together, me and my twin sister are the last two.
All right.
And we were the youngest. So mainly for our drives across to Florida, it would be like me, my twin sister, my mom, my dad, maybe my brother, Steven. And then my uncle would end up joining us later on in his own car. Like him and his wife would drive down.
Right.
So was it, we have a decent family. I'm not going to say it's a big family because I know people that have 10 or 12 siblings. And that to me is crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah no, that sounds like great. That's almost
that's
average,
a big
right?
family. Like that's a good yeah. family size.
Yeah. Good solid two-car caravan to get to the destination.
So did you go to Disneyland or Disney World, I mean, or all those?
We went to one of them, whichever one is in Florida.
Disney World.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, whichever one is in Florida, we went there. I barely remember it, but we did go there because we have the pictures to prove it. Yeah. So we
I got
definitely yeah,
there wasn't Photoshop. Your parents weren't trying to convince you that you had a good childhood. Look at all the great
parents are that proficient in Photoshop, but if they were, kudos to them.
See, and lucky you now, like, because you're raising a child in the age of Photoshop, so you can just stay home with the kid and then Photoshop
right?
a whole bunch of photos. Go, look what we did. Look how good of parents we've been. Taking you everywhere, kid.
Look at how great. How are we yeah, the best parents?
I actually went the first time I came to the U.S. When I was still living in Venezuela, we went to Disney World, and it was funny because like my mom, you know, we rented a car and stuff like that with my cousins, but then she didn't remember where she parked, so like I just remember like walking around the park, you know, like we're walking around the parking lot for like hours, and you know, and they're like, where did we park in Goofy or Pluto? And it was a rental car, so I was like, how the fuck?
No.
I mean,
you couldn't remember the license plate or anything.
Nope.
So finally, I think they drove us around in the security things, whatever. But I remember, like, yeah, walking around, just going, like, where? Like, we couldn't find the park at all. The car.
Do you mean to tell me, Francisco, that you got a free ride in a golf cart?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it was me or if it was my my mom or something, because I was like 8 or 9. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
I just remember walking around, just kind of like we were just like the last ones in the park, just be like, fuck, we're just gonna have to stay here and start working as yeah. in Disneyland World as the characters.
Yeah, that would be quite a thing if the whole parking lot empties out and then not even your car is left. So. It got stolen earlier on in the day or something. So then
they actually stole the rental car, so it doesn't matter where you parked.
Yeah. So it turns out you guys weren't morons. You were right.
It was just
gone.
So. Cool. All right.
I'm going to be bombarded by cats at any moment, so I'm just letting you know. I'm staying with my buddy Tom. Tom Tran. You know Tom.
Tom.
He has the friendliest cats. Tom Tran.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He has
oh yeah, so you're very
cats.
Close to me because he lives around here where I live.
Oh, you're in North Hollywood or by North Hollywood?
I mean, like by Studio City. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very close.
You guys can say hi to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. We're so used to this now. We're so used to this. Even
Gina's
if you told
like,
me,
I'm enough. I got the cats here. I don't need to see
it. Yeah. This will be all right.
I'm allergic to Francisco.
Yeah. That becomes a thing though, like now because I have the baby, it's like, so are you vaccinated or
oh yeah.
or yeah, not?
Well, I just got my second vaccination.
I'm getting my second when I go back to New York. I had my first before I came out here.
I got congratulations. I'm a Pfizer boy.
Me too. I'm pro Pfizer.
I'm pro Pfizer too.
The Pfizer.
JJ's head and shoulders.
Vaccination. I'll take the head and shoulders. I'm not going to complain, whatever it is, but I'm not eligible until the 15th, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting it over with. Holy cow. Yeah. I did a gig on Friday and I felt bad about taking the gig because I was like, oh God, I feel like I'm taking a risk. You start to think about your mom and like, I don't want to wait through a whole pandemic.
Especially then,
something stupid when I only have 2 weeks left.
Like, that's what I mean. People like, I guess like us, like we were like, you know, we took, you know, seriously in a way and like we kind of, and then like to be like the last month and like just do something stupid and then get sick is like, come on. You know, so it's like,
but
I'm happy with it. So just to segue into the third question, which has nothing to do with vaccination, but it was a segue. When you travel, what is an essential or sentimental item that you bring on the road with you? Do you bring anything, you know, besides your baby, obviously, like, but like if there's anything like or anything that you bring with you.
And it's weird.
That's what we want, man. That's what we're looking for.
We want the details.
Before I had my son, whenever I would travel, I would bring this tiny little stuffed Chewbacca plushie with me. And I mean, I bring it on the plane. I sleep with it in my bed, which sounds very weird. However, this plushie had a very significant emotional meaning to me.
Okay.
It was during the time I live with my brother. I live with my brother in Queens for about, I want to say 3 years. And it was our first Christmas together. I think I missed our first Christmas together. It was around our first Christmas together, and I had to leave to go work on a cruise ship. And I was really sad because I was going to be away from my family for the first time. And we were walking through Walgreens, and I see this plushy little Chewbacca doll that makes all the Chewbacca noises. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cute. And I'm, you know, such a Star Wars fan. My brother saw it and he bought it for me. And I was like,
all right.
We have a special guest.
What's up,
Tom Tran, everybody?
Well, eventually we're going to have you on the podcast too.
And that's Mario.
I want to say hi. That is a friendly cat. Anytime you can just pop up a cat and it just goes
he's
limp.
Very friendly. That fine. Cat is like the best.
Male boy.
My brother bought that for me. And I bought it with me everywhere because it reminded me of him. And it was my first Christmas away from home. That's cool. So I cuddled with Mini Chewy. But since my baby, I've only cuddled with my baby, but I assume I'm not gonna be able to bring my baby all the time, so Mini Chewy will be back in action.
So you still have it, you still have it's with you, Mini Chewy. But don't you want to like now replace it with like a Baby Yoda?
No, I love Baby Yoda's cute, but Mini Chewy has emotional significance for me. But Baby Yoda is cute, I'm not even gonna lie. When I was watching all the Baby Yoda stuff explode, I was like, I can't deny the cuteness. It's adorable. Baby Yoda is adorable, guys.
But the Baby Chewie, when you bring him, do you actually treat him like as a person? That like, do you put him in the plane and sit next to you, or are you just like, or you're not like that? Okay, because I've seen people
I will sit him in bed and I'll be like, I'll hold down this hotel room till I come back, bro, and then I'll just leave. Leave him sitting on the bed. Like, I need you to hold.
Talk to him. You know?
It's probably not a bad strategy too to get yourself some space if you're ever on a bus or a plane and you want some space, just to start talking to little Chewy, and all of a sudden you'll see people clear out from around you.
Right, right, Chewy. Are you a happy Chewy? Oh, don't make him mad.
Oh no, the seat is free, ma'am. Oh, where are you going? Okay. That's a very good strategy.
Good call.
Man.
He has a temper.
That's it. That is that's a great answer. That's the kind of answer that we were looking for. We've had joke book. When somebody goes joke book, we're like, that's a cop out. That's not. We don't want joke book.
We all bring our joke books.
We want to hear the good stuff. And fantastic. That brings us to the next question, which is mine. And this is a really straightforward. Is there a tradition or a custom from somewhere else that you visited that you would love to introduce to the rest of America? You know, or it's like something that maybe Americans could even learn, grow from.
I don't know that there's a specific custom or tradition, but I know that when I was on my honeymoon, we went from London to Paris, Paris to Rome, and Rome to Madrid. So I got to experience those different cultures.
Right.
I fell in love with all of them for different reasons. And it made me wish that more people could travel instead of assuming things about like other countries and people from other countries. Because, I mean, I went into Paris thinking everybody was going to be rude just based off what I had heard from other people.
Yeah, because that's for your hair.
Yeah.
And it turns out they're actually really nice if you attempt to speak French to them. They're just like, just don't be rude. Like, we speak French here. Like, don't come in here speaking English and then, you know, forcing us to speak English. Like, try a little bit of French first. They'll bend and they'll speak to you in English. Trust me, I don't want to hear bad French. But they'll speak to you in English at some point, but they really appreciate the effort. They really appreciate the effort of doing that. But I did go in with some preconceived notions, like, man, they're going to be rude to me and I'm going to end up hating Paris. Paris is absolutely one of the most beautiful cities.
Great.
I would go there. Oh, I would go there and for like a week.
That's the same thing too. I had the same thing of like, oh, they're going to be, and they were all nice. It is true. It's like, it's not, because I think it's also like, if you bring, I think it's the arrogance, you know, of like being like, sorry, you're going to have to learn English. Cause it's like, no, like you have to, if you're in Paris, if you're in France, try to speak French, you know, or try, you know, but also like, anything, just something that they, at least that you're trying. And, but yeah, Paris is great. I actually felt like a homeless walking around because everybody's dressed so nice.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, like I look, I was like, but everybody was like fashion, like really like good fashion.
Very
and I'm
fashion.
Like with a hoodie and I'm like, oh my God, like what's going on?
It takes a while for, I mean, that's what I always say too, like having lived in Europe for so long, but Canadians are the worst dressed in the world. Canadians are terrible. And then Americans are a second. to that, like we love our baggy jeans and ball caps and goatees. All of those things are North American constructs that Europeans don't do, and Americans don't believe. Like they don't know that until they step out and go, "Oh, there's things that we do that nowhere else in the world does."
Oh, you know, there's fashion.
There's fashion. I love. So, is it safe to say, if I had to sum it up, Gina, is it safe to say when I ask for a tradition or custom that you would love to bring back to America? Basically, what you said was the traditional custom would be open-mindedness.
Yes, I would like to bring open-mindedness.
That is how we sum that up. Yeah, because I love how you're, because all the preconceived notions, and it's true. And I mean Americans do travel loud as well. So you always know when they arrive.
It is true. I think it's like, I mean, I think this is one of the reasons we do the podcast, because I think traveling is so important. I think everybody should, I mean, I think that should be a must for people to travel, because that's how you actually learn that it's not, you don't have to do things one way, you know? And I think that's what happens here in the US sometimes, like people just stay in the US. So they think traveling is like, from LA to Boston. And I mean, you're going to find like one difference, but it's not that. I mean, at the end of the day, the U.S. is pretty much the same everywhere. You know, you're not going to get, you're just going to get different restaurants. But you, if you really want to experience cultures, like, go to Europe, go to India, go to Africa, go to Asia, you know, stuff like that. And you're really going to see. And that's when it really opens your eyes, you know, like with what Gina said, where it's like, people are not like this, you know.
Would really blow your mind. Yeah.
Well, you were on the trains going from. Sorry, I missed. I can't remember which European countries you were talking about. But was it
London
one of those?
London to Paris to Rome, Rome to Madrid.
So you went through the little the tunnel thing, and wow. So, and was it one of those train situations where the train guard comes to check your passports while you're on the train, or did you guys, or is there a, like a border kind of deal?
I'm trying to remember if there was like a border deal or somebody. I think it was more like a border deal where you just, they had to check your passport when you got on and off.
Right.
I don't remember that there was somebody coming to check the passports. I don't think so, but I straight up fell asleep.
So. Oh, right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say that, I think, is the strategy. So,
yes.
And it still tends to work. It still tends to work internationally in Europe. A lot of times, if you pretend you're falling asleep, whoever, the German train guard or whatever, he'd rather just assume that you've got your paid ticket, and then they'll continue walking on. I've never had that strategy work internationally, but honestly, because I took the train from Italy up around to Germany and back, and then over to Britain, and the same thing. There was a couple times where I slept through the ticket check, and I was like, "How does that happen? We are."
They just let you sleep. They're just like,
yeah. They're in different. It's Europe. It's Europe, man. We just have freedom of borders. Sleeping. Yeah. Just go for it.
And of all the cities that you visited, which one did you like the best, and also which food was the best too? Because I mean, those are really great cities to eat.
London's one of my favorite places ever. I love London. I have an affinity for British people. I have a lot of Brit friends. Okay, the cats are fighting. Okay, apparently one of them's British. Didn't like it.
Yeah, makes sense.
So I love London, but I had been to London like once or twice before. So the city that I had visited for the first time and fell in love with, I think the food and the culture and everything, was Rome. I fell in love with Rome so much. I was like, I mean, goodness, Italy is gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been there, but I want to go there.
Did you go to Pisa?
No, but we were a block away from, what is it? We were a block away from a big historical thing. The name is escaping me right now, but we were literally, we Airbnb'd this place that was a block away from
the Colosseum.
Yes, the Colosseum. It was a block away from the Colosseum. So we just walked down there and took the little tour and just like went around. It was amazing. Like,
you
could see the Colosseum practically from our block.
Yeah. Remarkable. And you know what else blew me away? I don't know if it's still like this, but the food was so cheap
well.
I found it was so like, it's so delicious, like pizzas and everything was so tasty cheap. And I was like,
there.
Yeah, at the time I was, I lived in London at the time, but I was like, you can't get food like this in England. That's this cheap or this tasty. It was absolutely delicious.
Yeah. Kudos to Rome because food was impeccable.
Yeah, when I go there, it's so bad. I think that's going to be like my next vacation trip, just to go to Italy. And I mean, yesterday I was, and my girlfriend were watching the show with Stanley Tucci, where he's just like in CNN, where he like discovering Italy. And he's like, it's like I was watching porn, but for like old people. I was like, oh, look at that pasta. Oh, yeah.
Food porn, travel and food porn.
Yeah, right? I was like, it looked so delicious. You know, I was like, damn. Oh, I was really like, yeah. So that's definitely one thing I want to go. All right, next question that we have. So who has been the most interesting person you have met while traveling?
Okay. Dang.
Oh, wow, you got a couple.
Well, I got a couple, but there's
you can mention a couple.
Really stand out. Like one is one of my favorite British people, my buddy Stuart, who passed away unfortunately. But my buddy Stuart, who is funny, and we're both Eddie Izzard fans, and we would just make each other laugh all the time. And he had been visiting the US when we initially met, and then anytime I went over to the UK, where when I went to London, we would meet up and we would hang out, and he would take me to different places. I went to my first pub with him. Like, he was a gem of a person to know. And then there was one time I was flying to Raleigh, North Carolina. I think I have that right. I think it's in North Carolina. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Raleigh,
Germany.
And I was on the plane with this nice older gentleman, and we started talking, and he was like, "You remember to say the name right. It's Raleigh. You got to say Raleigh." And he just became like one of my favorite people, just getting me to pronounce the name right. And then he told me about his son, who was in New York and an actor. And he gave me his son's MySpace, I think it was at the time. It was either MySpace or his Facebook. I can't remember which one, but I ended up hitting his son up and being like, "Hey, so like your dad wanted me to contact you."
That's funny.
And he was like a really nice older gentleman, but like, and it was son's name was Avery. I can't remember his name to save my life. But
you'll have to go back to your MySpace account to retrace.
I'll have to go back and figure out like what was that guy's name.
But his name was Tom. His name was Tom.
His name was Tom, and he worked in MySpace. No, he was a cool dude, and I rarely talk to anybody on an airplane because I'm ready to fall asleep the second I step on that thing.
Yeah.
So I always get a window seat unless for some reason I can't, because I'm gonna fall asleep the second I sit down. It's like hoodie up, earphones on, and I'm out.
Nice. Right. Yeah, it is funny when you actually, because I'm also like, yeah, I guess because we travel so much. We're not that talkative on planes, you know, as comics, because it's kind of like part of the drill. But yeah, it's fun when you sometimes meet somebody that's like, it comes out naturally, and you kind of like it, like it's not forced, you know, like, because it's annoying when somebody's like, it's forced and they're just trying to talk. And you're like, I don't want to talk. You know?
Do you tell them what you do for a living? Because I'd be making stuff up.
I think if they ask,
I will be like, I'm a writer. Oh, what do you write?
Yeah, that's always going to be something. So I was like, I might as well just tell the truth, you know.
That is the easier one. But yeah, but don't you hate if you're sitting next to them, though, Francisco, and you tell them you're a comic, aren't they going to be like, well, you haven't been funny yet. Why don't you tell me a joke then?
You're going to put this in your act?
They do that. And I'm like, yes, I'm recording this right now.
Yes, you are. You're gonna.
I'm putting this in the act right now.
You're officially in my. Lucky you. You've sat in the lucky seat. You are my act.
No, actually, Gene, I think you obviously know this because you do. You have done cruises, but yeah, like the experiences that I had on cruises, that's to me, that's even worse. And the plane, because it's like you do the show, and then the people come up to you, and like, and they're there, like they don't leave. Yeah. And you're there too, so it's like it's not like they come up to you like the show, like right after the show. It's like 3 days later while you're eating, they're like, "Hey, you know what's funny?" And then they start telling you a joke, and it's like I don't want to, and you have to like be nice, but like I don't want to talk to you.
The
like it's over.
Thing is, like, looking at somebody who's being so painfully unfunny in front of you, and you're just like,
all right. Good idea.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
Also, I remember getting ones where like it was like not borderline, but like maybe like just complete racist, and that I had to like play it off. I was like, okay, yeah, that's I'll think about that one. I was like, what the? It's like, why are you? But it's like it's so funny because. And I feel it doesn't make me even mad because it's kind of like a kid being disrespectful without knowing because they're a kid. And that's, you know, but yeah, I remember that in the cruises.
Yeah. There's always three subjects that just come out of people's faces that they think will just be funny in the moment because they've heard things out of your face that allude to these things. Like, we can touch on racism, sexism, and some of the other isms without being blunt about it. We can skirt around the issue and like paint a story or something that allows you to maybe deconstruct it. But then when they come up to you after the show and they just hit you with straight up racism or sexism, and then they see the offense in you and you're like, whoa, and they're like, what? It's just like what you guys did. And you're like, no, that wasn't.
No,
that
was, no that wasn't. It wasn't. That, sir, was really racist.
Yeah.
Mine was a joke.
Yeah. Mine.
Well, and quickly before we get to the last question, but that's actually how, I actually met your husband
At a racist meeting?
No. in a cruise. You know, like actually, I think that was the last cruise
key party?
It was like the best. That was the best cruise I did, because the ones that I had done before weren't that fun for me at all. And I was that one was the best one I had fun with, because I was with Dean Edwards. So like we got to hang out all the time, and he was cool. And then also it was like, it was just better run. Like it had like a comedy club, and it was just better, you know, like, so, but that's how I met, Gina's husband, because, at that point you were dating actually, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, I'm dating Gina. And I was like, oh yeah, I know Gina. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, you met him on the Norwegian ship?
The Norwegian ship. Yeah. Yeah. Where he was he was doing the, JJ, Gina's husband, he plays, awesome, like he's like great piano player, and he so he does in that particular cruise he was working the dueling pianos, you know, where
that's awesome. That's a great way to meet. I love meeting, I like, some of the best friendships that you'll ever meet in the arts industry are when you've got to work together in an enclosed environment, isn't it? Then you get to spend time together before and after. You're forced, basically. You are forced, but eventually that force turns into, isn't this fun? We're you know, trapped in this great situation together. Those are some of the best ones. Like even if like cruises are fun and everything, but even when it's a bad city, even when it's a place that you don't want to be, that'll forge good friendships with the comedians, because you're like, you make the best of the bad situation. You know, best of the crappy place you're in. So that's the best ways. I guess the final question falls down to me, doesn't it, Francisco, man?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gina, it's been killer. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. And well, the last one might take you a second to think about, actually. We're going to dig deep into your career of traveling everywhere. But we're wondering, is there a time in your career where you have felt at risk while traveling? You know, where maybe some precautions weren't taken, or maybe where you wound up in a situation where you didn't want to be.
Man, I mean, there's been a few. I mean, I'm a female traveling by myself, so I don't think people realize how constantly in peril.
We don't realize it.
Well, I was saying I slept in my car in 2019 when I was touring Britain, and I'm getting a bit old for sleeping in my car, but they screwed up my hotels on me at one point in my tour in 2019, and I had to sleep in my car before going to the other town. And I remember thinking, like, not only in terms of gender, but I'm also a tall man. So I'm safe enough to sleep in my car. And I remember thinking of the broad spectrum of comedians, there's a lot of people who can't do this. We put our safety at risk a lot. So
I slept in my car before one of my first return trips to LA years after my first trip. I ended up stranded because my friend had given me keys to this apartment that was closer to LA because I was staying in Fontana. And so she was like, sleep at my friend's place, out of town. The key didn't work. So here it was 2 or 3 in the morning, and all I have is my rental car. So I slept in my rental car, showered at LA Fitness, and went on the next day to do my meetings. But I think the most time I felt like I was in peril was when I came to do Chelsea.
Okay.
I was only at a hotel for a couple of hours, so I breezed into the hotel, dropped my stuff off, had to run to set because I was really late, left set, like, rush back to the hotel because I literally flew in to do it and was flying out that night. So I didn't have like a lot of time.
Yeah.
I only had a couple of hours. So I went back to the hotel and I'm all dolled up from the show. I'm all hussied up. And I'm getting in the elevator and these 5 guys like follow me into the elevator. Like they clearly followed me into the elevator.
5?
No. Yeah. At the time, I had been training regularly in MMA. I had been training jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and all this other stuff.
Wow.
So I was a little bit more confident that I could defend myself, but it's still 5 people. I was very outnumbered, and they were all like well over 6 feet. So I'm like, these guys are huge. I am a statuesque 5'2", and all these guys are humongous, and there's 5 of them. So right away I start to assess the situation, and I'm like, all right, how much damage can I do before, like, I'm gonna have to run at some point. Like, I'm gonna have to run at some point. I'm already playing this out in my head. And they're talking to me in Italian, and I'm like, I don't speak Italian. So I'm walking out of the elevator, and then they start to talk to me in Spanish. And in, like, just naturally, I respond. Like, it's just a thing. Like, I just responded. And so I was like, damn it. So then they start asking me questions like, are you here alone? How long are you staying here? And they're literally following me. Like, they're walking down.
And how old are these guys?
Like, had to be ages? In their 20s, like they had mid-20s, I would guess.
And no sense, like, of how creepy they're all being. No sense.
No sense whatsoever. No sense at all. I'm a woman by myself. There's five guys following me, essentially, to my hotel room. And they're just
keep,
like,
following after they, you they get out of the elevator.
And I was like, yeah, I'm here with my boyfriend. He's in the room. We're getting ready
His
to go out.
His name is Chewy.
His name is Chewy. He's big and furry from another planet. So I was like, yeah, he's in the room. I'm just gonna go back and pick him up. We're going to dinner. And they were like, oh, okay. And I, like, walked to the room, and I just, like, I opened my room and I go in, and they're still watching me. Like, they know what room I'm in now. Jeez. So
what a weirdo.
Like, I start to pack my stuff up immediately. Yeah. I keep looking at the peephole to make sure they're not there. When I see the coast is clear, I run out of my hotel room to my rental car, check out of the hotel, and drive straight to the airport, like, 3 hours early.
Wow. That is crazy. Like, how that. Guys, like, I mean, yeah, not to have even the sense of, like, this is weird. Like, I mean, if it was one guy, it's still weird, but at least, you know, in a way, but like five, like even five dudes, like, what are you planning? What the fuck are you doing? Like, what are you, I just don't understand.
Yeah. That's I'm sorry crazy. that happened on many levels also, because it's should have been a highlight of your career. That's a highlight night. That's a lot of fun. You've shown up to do Chelsea. I hate it when it gets ruined by an incident like that. And instead that becomes, you know, you ended up hurrying to the airport instead of just enjoying your night and enjoying the moment that your career had earned you.
That was a crappy one for sure, but at least I was safe. I'm thankful that I was safe.
Yeah,
that's all it would be.
And these five guys, they went to the burger joint. That's what I'm saying. Are they part of the burger joint? Maybe they just wanted some.
These five
some
guys
burgers.
Had nothing to do with our favorite burger chain.
That's right.
Although there was one time when I was on tour with Gabriel that we passed by a Five Guys, and I was like, "Oh, I love Five Guys," and every guy on the tour bus was like, "Oh, really? Yeah. For children, your children."
Yes.
Five Guys.
Alfred Robles. What's up, fool? Yeah, you like Five Guys, Gina. Yeah.
Indeed.
That's so funny. Wow, that's great. Well, that's I'm glad that you only have this story to tell, nothing else happened like that. But it is nuts to be like JJ was saying, it's like we don't realize as guys, like it is. I mean, I get scared traveling by myself, you know, so it's kinda like imagine being a woman.
But do you like double, triple lock your doors and put something in front of your door in case somebody
I do, depending on the hotels that I stay. You know, like if I stay, like sometimes if it's like a, especially the ones when you know when you do a college and they give, which I stopped doing that, where they give you the hotel and it's like a fucking like meth hotel.
I forget where I was that happened to me too. Like where I was at I was at a hotel on the road somewhere and somebody was with me. Thankfully, I was with a girlfriend of mine. And I think it might have been Ontario. I don't remember, but it was a really nice hotel. And somehow some drunk guy had made it up to the floor and couldn't find his room. So he was like trying to get into my room. And I had to call down to security and be like, there's like a drunk guy who's like trying every door on this floor.
Yeah.
Like, I need you guys to come up here. Because it was ridiculous.
I was like, I had to call one too, because there was like, I remember like hearing some people, like a couple fighting, like, and I'm like, this guy is gonna pull out a gun. Like, it felt like, like I was like watching Cops, like the live version.
Right,
you know, like this is gonna get bad. This is escalating very quickly.
Yeah, I was like, this is Cops the musical.
I've had somebody come in. I've had the door, the hotel door, the key go click, click, and somebody come in at like 3 a.m. like for a late checkout. And I've had to sit up in my bed.
Oh, wow.
So somebody had double booked my room. But I had all those thoughts. Unbelievable. Because you know, you like, I'm glad it was a mistake in the end, but you end up thinking like, oh God, is this some sort of...
Well, that's one thing, a rule I made. I don't like the hotels that are like motels, like where you like, you're close to the... Fuck that. Like, I like, give me buildings. Give me buildings with elevators. Like, I don't like that. I don't like those. And then sometimes you do have to stay in those because those are the only ones that are available in the small towns, but I hate those ones. Like, those are the ones where I do lock, triple lock, and do all that shit because I was like, it's like it's too easy to people to just, anybody can just break a window here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Uh-uh. It's too creepy.
Yeah. No, not in my. Plus, I grew up in Venezuela, so I always have that spidey sense of like, there's always danger. I always know the danger runs around.
Francisco, this is why I love doing the podcast with you, man, because you and I, we fit each other in so many ways, because you grew up in Venezuela, so that's why. But I grew up in Canada, and we don't even lock our doors. So I actually, when I got unleashed on the world, or when I moved to Britain and became a stand-up comedian, I'm like, that's when I was just learning to not trust people then, because I went through a whole childhood of trust. But it turns out the rest of the world isn't like that. So, so it's nice. It's nice to have finally found my yang, the yang to my nobody. Gina, that was can't thank you enough. It's a pleasure meeting you. I hope to meet you in real human life someday. I definitely owe you a drink. You know, that was my thought. Watching your special, I was like, I want to have a beer with Gina.
I'll have a joint. You can have a beer.
You know what?
We can have a joint. Anybody can have a joint.
Yeah, I'll do the joints. Then let's do that. I'm perfectly happy with that too, Gina. You've been an absolute treat.
And just for everybody to remember to watch her special on Netflix called The Floor is Lava. And also, Gina has a podcast called Mess in Progress that you can listen to in all the platforms, Spotify, Apple.
Yeah,
everything. And then we have one last question that JJ is going to ask you before we leave. We'd like to have to ask a question to our guest, JJ.
Yeah, we've been all our guests on the way out. We'd like to ask you one last thing of like, what is a good piece of travel advice you would like to hand out to? I mean, we've talked about caution and we've talked about knowing where you're going and all that kind of stuff. But do you have a piece of travel advice that you can hand down to anybody, or maybe that you've been given yourself?
Nothing I've been giving myself, but just from my experience with traveling, I personally cannot be one of those people that shows up just within enough time to make my gate. I'm one of those people that shows up super early in case there's an issue. I can resolve it, God willing, even if I can be in the airport. Lord knows I've been in the airport for hours. I'm fine with that. As long as I get to, because I'm a very paranoid traveler. I'm only paranoid until
that's the joint. To my
gate. Yeah, that's the joint, right? Before going to the airport. If I get past the security to my gate where I'm like, everything's cool, your ticket is good, because I've had everything happen that could happen.
Yeah,
I've had flights get canceled. I was stuck in Texas for like 3 or 4 days after a gig because my flights kept getting canceled. I had flights delayed and I missed a gig because of it. And also, I guess the best piece of travel advice that I could give that I had to learn through all of my experiences is there are certain things that are outside of your control. So there's no point in yelling at a ticket agent. There's no point in yelling at a customer service person. It does not speed up the process. It does not fix the problem.
Yes.
When you go to, like, I remember I was supposed to do a gig in Vegas and I had spent 12 hours in the airport.
Wow.
From airport to airport trying to figure out how to get to Vegas because my ticket was booked wrong.
Ugh.
At the end of it, when they said, just go home, when they were like, just go home, you're not going to make the show. I finally broke down and just tearfully walked over to the ticket agent and just said, please send me home. And because I was so kind, she had actually gotten me a free ticket back to New York. Nonstop. And I was just so, I was so happy. I was upset that I missed a gig, but I learned that there are certain things that are outside of your control. And the more you let them stress you out, the more you ruin the moment for yourself. Like some flights just, sometimes some trips aren't going to work out, and that's just how it is.
Completely agree. And that's true about, you know, also about being kind to people, because those those people that work there, they don't, like, you know, if there's a delay because of weather, I mean, like, whatever, they're not God, like, they're not, you know, what are they gonna do? Like, so, and I also have had somebody, like, because I was nice to them, they gave me like either a first class seat, or they put me in this earlier flight because you're just nice, you know, like, I think it's that entitlement that people have today, where everybody thinks they're like God, like the star of the moment, and it's like, no, like, you can't just treat people like they're your slaves, you know. So I completely agree with that.
Yeah, and also, you know, kindness costs nothing, and somebody will pass the buck along, you know, too. So that's the other thing. You never know, like, if you're spreading a good mood. Like, if you've already lost your flight, no point in taking the frustration out on somebody who's going to end up taking their frustrations out on.
Especially when that somebody's being yelled at by 15 other people.
It's, I know, like, that's the thing.
You're helping this situation. Like, you really know.
And by the way, I do have an advice. If you ever need to ask somebody in an airport for something, go do the line to the person who's yelling at that person, because then you come in after that person yell at the, and it's like, that's crazy fucker.
That's a great idea.
That's crazy. Are you okay?
Yeah, are you okay? Oh, that first class? Fantastic. Well, I wasn't thinking about it. All right, cool.
That is that's great advice, man.
Yeah, because I've had that thing happen, and I'm like, or change my attitude at the moment. Sometimes I go like, and then the other person is crazier than me, and then I'm like, and then I just like change the attitude, and they're like, what's wrong with these people?
Excellent.
These people are crazy. I'm nice. Can you do me a favor?
100%, man. Well, wow. Gina, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for coming. I know you're you have a lot of things you know, going on right now, especially your baby. So thank you for giving us the time to talk to us.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it, you guys. This was fun.
So remember, follow. And also, if people want to follow you on social media, where can they see?
Oh yeah. You guys can follow me at Gbrione on Instagram, at Gbrione80 on TikTok. I'm on Facebook, Gina Brione, Twitter, Gina Brione. The website is GinaBrioneComedy.com, or I'm sorry, GinaBrione.com. Probably both. GinaBrione.com or .net. Check it out. Right. Check out the podcast and check out the special.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Gina.
Yes, thanks, Gina. See you soon.
Bye, hello.
For a split. Bye, guys.